Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Morning, not just of those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but those of you who are tuning in online on iChurch, and we are streaming in English, Spanish. This morning, our interpreter, Alex, is out of town, but we want to thank Elias Rodriguez for being the translator this morning. He's behind the glass, you can't see him, but we want to thank him for helping us out this week. Let's go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 10th verse. So you guys know that this year is winding down. We are moving into 2018. Can you believe it? There's nothing left of 2017 but a month, a few weeks. Is anybody ready?
No.
I'm hearing some unsurety. Ready or not? 2018 is coming. And you want to be prepared. Do you all see what's going on in the world today? And a lot of believers, see, this is a time that you stand on what you believe. When folks start acting crazy, when the world starts looking like these perilous times, you don't get scared. You don't have anxiety. You are children of the Most High God. So that being the case, you're victorious as long as you're in Him. Anybody in Him? Not outside, but what? Do I have any saints that are in Him today? Right, right. So these things should be signs to you that the word is true, because it said, perilous times, we're coming in the last days. So we're seeing those things happen. But really our goal is to stay focused, to stay centered and grounded, and not to get overwhelmed. There's still some souls out there that need to be saved. There's still some people that need to be encouraged, right? Who's going to do that? Tell your neighbor, you, us. We got to do this. But what happens is that we're struggling just to stay safe. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We should already be founded. We should already have our foundation sure, right? So this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about spiritual architecture and design for life. Because many of us have built the wrong way. Maybe we've used the wrong foundation. We've used a foundation that is not the sure foundation. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. And so we want Yahweh to be the architecture of our lives. When the world looks at us, they should see Him, right? Look at your neighbor. Do you see him? That's the way it's supposed to be. Our life is supposed to be a reflection of the kingdom. So when we look at Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 10th verse, it says, for we what? Might be. For we could be. We're talking to the believer. For we what? We are. You have to know who you are. Say, I am his workmanship. So that's who we are, right? For we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua, or as our life reflects, we were recreated. Right? When we came to him, our life was a mess. But we came to him and he what? Transformed us, recreated us. In our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua Mashiach, and then we were created, recreated in that, and there was supposed to be an outcome or evidence. And what is that evidence? In Scripture, what does it say? The next thing says what? Unto what? Are we performing the good works? Because we've been created. We've been recreated in him unto what? Good works. Which Yahweh hath ordained them that we what? So get the picture. I was living a life before I came to him. Then there was a moment in time where I said, you know what? I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. So therefore, I'm coming to him. Because in him there's peace. In him there's joy. In him there's all the things that I was not living before. So Father, I believe that you died for my sins. And I want to confess your name. I want to be baptized. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to be recreated. I want to be brand new. Who felt that way? They just wanted to be brand new. A new start, right? But sometimes in that new beginning, we get lost. And he's cleaned us up, and he's wanted us to start fresh with the foundation on Yeshua. Sometimes we start there, but sometimes we deviate. And so we've been talking about we have to stick to the blueprint. He ordained us to walk in them. Walk in what? The good works. All the things that he's designed us to do or redesigned us to do. Right? So we can't forget. And this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing believers forget that they're his workmanship. We have short memories. Every day, I have to reinforce the fact that I am what? I got to renew this mind what? Daily. And so he's created us, recreated us. And the problem is that some of us deviate. But the beauty is that we can get it right. We can rebuild. And this is what we have been talking about. We have been talking about rebuilding. So go to Nehemiah, the second chapter. The example that we have is the children of Israel. They had gone from being his children. He delivered them out of slavery and a lot of other things. And they got in their own mind and fell back, got enslaved again. This process happened for 70 years. Up and down and up and down. Why? Because they kept on losing sight of who they were, what they were supposed to do. Check this out. If the Red Sea parted and I was standing right there, wait, y'all can't imagine. You in trouble, there's stuff coming from behind you. You trapped. All the stare is you in front of some water, and the enemy is behind you. And there's nowhere to go. You need a supernatural intervention, because if these dudes catch up with you, it's going to be over. Some of y'all been in situations like you ran down the alley. It was a dead end. The gun was supposed to be pulled on you. Didn't go off. The car was supposed to hit you, but it didn't. And if I was standing there and I saw out of nowhere the waters part that go up, I still get the hair stands on back of my neck, the hair that's left. When I kind of see the old Ten Commandments, who knows that? Charlton Heston. And you know, when that water went up, I was just imagining. If I had seen that, you couldn't tell me that there was not a God. I would serve him for the rest of my life. Whatever he told me would do. I'd say, what? Whatever. Because I seen you move. I seen you lift up the Red Sea. I've seen you perform miracles. And some of us should be like that. We've seen him move. We've seen him do things. We've seen him answer prayer. We've seen him heal cancer. We've seen him move. But yet, we forget. We should be praising him for stuff that he did 10 years ago. Still praising. Still praising. So we can't allow ourselves to, because the world wants us to get cold. The enemy wants you to get cold. He wants you to get complacent. He wants you to be like, don't take all that. And so he says, listen, the children were finally back in their hometown, their city, that Yahweh had ordained them to be in. They would have been there all along had they not what? Gotten their head. But let's go to Nehemiah, the second chapter, the 17th verse. And it says, then said I unto them, you see the distress we are in? How Jerusalem, our city, Jerusalem, lieth in wait, and the gates thereof are what? Burned with fire. Come and let us what? Build up the wall of Jerusalem, our city where we live. That is a representation of us. Right now it's raggedy, it's burned down, but let us what? Build it up. Let us rebuild it, that we be no more, and the translation is, a disgrace. Their city, their life, the city that was supposed to be a reflection of their God, and look at it. It's in ruins. And so we go to the fourth chapter, two chapters ahead. Nehemiah, Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. And this is what we have been springing from this scripture, these three scriptures. Knowing all that, so we what? Built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. So they started to rebuild the wall. They started to rebuild some of the gates, for the people had a what? It doesn't seem like people have a mind to work anymore. We live in a society where we want everything done for us fast. Microwave. Nobody can wait anymore. I'm surprised y'all got a Thanksgiving dinner done. Because nobody likes to what? Wait, everybody wants it fast. And I think we're raising a generation that don't know what it's like to have to wait hours for something. My mother made real banana pudding. I don't know about y'all. She made the real stuff. She made the stuff that you had to boil. Anybody know about that? You boiled that. Thank you, mother. And I'm sorry, but this new Insta stuff don't have nothing on the boil. Right? Any cooks in the house? You have to what? Stir it up. And you have to not only stir it up, but you have to what? Watch that thing. Is it ready, Ned? No, it's not. Go sit down somewhere. I'm stirring, I'm watching, and I'm waiting. The good stuff. Y'all warming up stuff with this microwave, you don't know what's going on. You putting that microwave stuff inside you, you need to use an oven. I'm just saying. We want everything what? At any cost. We want it what? But we have to have a mind that we're going to work for something. Even we raise up a generation that act like they don't want to work. No offense to my young people, they're working. They got jobs, right? Holler out if you, my young people, that's working. Yes. But we got some young folk in the society today, they don't want to what? Work for anything. They actually have a class. Have a brother know who does the airport in charge of some of the things that happen at LAX. And they have to have a special class for millennials. How to manage millennials. Because you can't manage them the same way that you do regular people. No offense, my millennials, our millennials got it going on. But there are some millennials that you can't even manage them the same, because it's like they have this idea, what's in it for me? I need you to do thus, thus, and thus. The baby boomers and Generation X maybe, and some of the other folk, they'll say, okay. You tell that to millennials, why I gotta do it like that? Question everything. So the managers were getting frustrated and they were firing folk. High turnover rate, why? Because they told them, you gotta manage these folks differently. You gotta show them a little something. You gotta show them you gotta go the extra mile to show them that they're gonna, what they're gonna get out of it, the end result. My dad don't tell me, he says, work hard. I didn't say why, I just what? Worked hard. Well, same thing. Do you know that we're losing millennials in the church? Because we're not letting them know the importance of what the word does. I'm telling you right now, the word is the only thing that we've got. And we have found all these years that the word still works. Who knows that the word still works? It's not a new word. Same old word. It's a new time, but the word is still working. Holy Ghost is still burning. Fire is still burning. And so this is what we have to know. Every time we open up this word, you shouldn't rely upon me to excite you. You should be excited because the word is still speaking and the word is still moving and the Holy Spirit is still operating. I just read. I'm in my office and I say, hey, he'll show me something. He'll say, go turn over here. Then I go over there and I'm like, oh. I'm telling y'all, one particular day, I was reading some passage of scripture, and as I was reading it, it was just me, the word, and the Holy Spirit. It raised me out my chair. And I was like this. It was just me and the Word. Does anybody, wait a minute. Is there anybody who knows how I'm feeling right now when we talk about this Word? You see something and it just stirs you up. I'm in my car or whatever. And it moves me. It's still moving, but you have to have a mind for it to move. You got to let it what? Work. You have to have a mind for it. I explain it like this. I have a decision to make when I'm reading the Word or when I'm doing something for the kingdom. Either I'm going to let this really move and operate in me and I'm opening up to it, or I can shut it down. The Spirit is what? Subject to the prophet. You can shut it down, or you can say, Yahweh, take this. Let it operate. Let it become real, alive in my life. Let it become rhema. So when we were dealing with this rebuilding, some people really have to allow it to become what? Rhema. Let it become real. Let it become alive in you. Just as you are alive, this Word is alive. The Holy Spirit is alive. And if you allow that to move in you, you're unstoppable. So these children had to have a mind for this rebuild to take place. So this is what we're talking about. So we went here and we said there were gates. There were 9 gates to the city. And I was going to leave it alone and just leave it on, okay, well, they had a mind to work and they rebuilt the stuff. But then the Holy Spirit said, no. Every gate had a name. And I want you to read about each gate. So I said, well, okay. And as I began to read about the significance of each gate, I got excited. So this is Jerusalem. This is what we find in Nehemiah, the 3rd chapter. So we find, and he said, they're all in order. And we find order. We serve a God of order. I don't understand how there can be people in the world that are atheists when we see the world that we live in. We see how a baby is born and the complexity of that. We see how the planets are aligned and all of that. And we still doubt that this was an intelligent design. There's no way. You think all of this order came out of the Big Bang? Heavens, no. There was order. So when we look at these gates, there are in order. So we're almost done with them. I would say that next week we'll be done with all of them. But here we go. It was the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, and the Melchiah gate, or the inspection gate. Now, we found out, and you can leave that up for a second. We found out the sheep gate, and we went through scriptures of that. And the sheep gate spoke to our understanding that Yeshua was and is and will always be the only way in and out. Say it. Yeshua's the only way. This was the only gate out of all the gates that were anointed by the high priest. No other gate was anointed by the high priest. This was the gate that they brought all of the sacrifice through. So it shows you that Yeshua was the what? Sacrificial lamb. And what we need to understand is, ain't no other way. No, you need to believe that. Because some of y'all is watching a bunch of other folk telling you that there's other ways. Oprah. I'm serious. I can't believe that there's no other way. There's another way. There's only one way, Oprah. But all these different religions, he didn't call all these different religions. Man made those. And guess this. He didn't call all these other denominations either. I'm Episcopal, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Pentecost, I'm all these different things. Who did that? Man did that. There's only one way, and that's the Bible way. Does anybody understand the one way? We got one book. So why, if we got one book, why we got all these different ways? It's very clear to me. There's one way. So that's what he showed us by the fish, by the sheep gate, fish gate. Talk to us about our willingness to follow and be fishers of souls. He said, drop what you're doing, follow me, and I will make you what? It's the same call, everybody. The same call that he made for those disciples. Follow me, and I'm going to do something. If you follow me, I'm going to what? Make you fishers of men. And when you're fishing, I'll show you how to do it the right way. So he said, go out and throw your nets. And it was like, we already been there. We did that. He said, no, go out. And they said, well, at your word. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll what? And guess what happened when they followed him and threw the net out? They had so much fish, the nets broke. That's still happening today. If you do it his way, follow his directions, your nets will break. What's your nets today? Your bank account? Your household? Who needs some net breaking going on? Net breaking. Not net breaking, net. Who needs overflow? Hallelujah. Even in your household, maybe it's even not monetary. Maybe you need some peace and harmony in your own house. You need a peace of mind. Everybody needs to be on the same page. That's a blessing. Sometimes that's worth more than money. Right? These are our nets. The things that we do. And he's trying to show us how to do the things better. Follow him. So that's what the fish gate was talking to us about. The reason why I'm going over them like this, because we've already done it. If you want to go and find out what we did before, you can definitely see the Media Center, and they will provide you with those CDs or digital copies. The old gate spoke to us the understanding that the old ways are the best ways. Try and what? True. And so the valley gate told us that we was going to go through something. Showed us that was where it went down into the valley, and that's where they did some of the night watching and stuff. Who hasn't gone through nothing? Okay. Who has gone through something? All gone through something. But guess what I know? You're still here. You're still standing. You're still victorious. Right? That's what the Valley Gate talked of. The Dung Gate. I didn't name it. It's in Nehemiah 3:13. And the Dung Gate is where they took out all the trash. And that spoke to our life. There's some trash that we need to get rid of in our life. We've been living foul, or we've been, and sometimes the Dung Gate is not just trash, it's people. Sometimes we need to
Apostle said, get rid of the dung of people.
Yeah. Because they're holding us back. After we've kind of purged and found out what was going on, and this is what I want. Father, please help me identify the dung. I want to identify that in my life. You know? And go to Philippians, the third chapter. I got a little time to just throw back to this because Paul, or as we say is his Hebrew name, Shaul, he was one of the worst people that you could possibly imagine. It was one of the biggest transformation stories of all time. This dude was killing Christians. He was eating them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He was dropping dimes on them. If he didn't murder them, he would tell somebody else where they were so they could murder them. He was cold-blooded. Didn't feel nothing about it. Which, I tell the ministers that sometimes there's things that are essential in the word, and then you must have them, and then there's some things that are interesting. One of the things that's interesting in the word to me is when they talk about Paul or Shaul's thorn. We all don't really know exactly what that thorn is. There's a lot of theories on what that thorn was. But in a way, and this is just coming from Pastor Tom, there has to be some fiber of him that remembers that he had killed those folks. So the thorn is something that he carried with them. So it could be other things, but in my opinion, I think that that's something that he may carry. I killed those folks. And though Yahweh on the Damascus road turned him around, transformed his life, and made him one of the most prolific apostles of all time. Say that again. Yeah, you resisted. But he turned him around. If he turned Paul around, look at y'all. I mean, if he did that, what can he do for you if you turn your life over to him? And so that's what he did. And he said in this scripture right here, I love what it says. Go to the third chapter, and let's go to the 7th verse. He says, but what things were gained to me, the stuff that I thought I wanted to do, the stuff that I was doing in the name of me. Who does stuff in the name of themselves? You guys do every day. When you do something in the name of you, you do what you, that's what you want to do. I'm doing this because I feel, I want, I think. And you respond and you act to that. If you want to have a bad, listen, some of y'all wake up with a nasty attitude. You want that. That's your stank attitude. You want it. You hold on to it. You're like, I want to have a stank attitude today. That's what you say inwardly. Even if you don't say it, that's what you're what? Demonstrating. Why? Because your attitude is foul. And whose attitude is it? Yours. You don't have to stay that way. You might wake up foul and stank, but you don't have to stay that way. You better let the Holy Ghost move and rebuke that and get that out of you so that you can be a light today. Listen, you have a choice. Even the most, who thinks they are the most churchy person? Now, some of us, you know, we think, oh, yeah, I wake up like this. I wake up sanctified, yeah. No, but most of us wake up and we're not so sanctified. But thank God he woke us up. And then we can enter in through prayer and all that, and we can get ourselves right. But do y'all really wake up? Hallelujah! Do you do that? Who does that? I want to know. That's not the first. It might be the second thing, but it ain't the first thing. First thing is like, ugh. And that's after you hit the snooze button 3 times. Because it's what we want to do. We want to stay that way. I don't want to stay that way. When I get angry, I don't want to stay angry. When I get disillusioned or what's let down, I don't have to stay that way. One of my most favorite scriptures in Psalms where he says, you are the lifter of my head. You are the lifter. What does that mean? My head was down. Who's had some head down moments? Good God. And he knew that we would have head down, hung low moments. But then he says, I am the lifter of your head. If anybody can lift you up, it would be me. So we understand this. So when we see Shaul, there was some stuff that he did in the name of himself. He thought that it would be good for him. He thought it would be gain. But when he found Mashiach, Yeshua, he says, I count those things a loss. Now I do. I didn't before, but now I do. And the 8th verse says what? Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. Why am I trading it? Why am I giving it away, all those things? He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Mashiach Yeshua, my Adonai. I want to be in his excellence. So all that stuff that I thought I was doing, it's a loss. But it's a loss that I might gain something that is far greater. It says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. But guess how I feel about those things now? I do count them, but what? They're dung. He was able to identify the things that were what? And what do we do with dung? Or what are we supposed to do with dung? Throw it out. My prayer is that you all will be able to identify what is in your life so that you can what? He says, that I may win. Sometimes you're not winning because you haven't thrown the dung out. Why am I not? I just need a win. Well, if you need a win, you need to follow instructions. He told you to stop doing whatever. He told you to stop saying whatever. He told you to stop participating in whatever. He told you to stop hanging around with whoever. But you said, nah, I'm going to hang on to them. I'm going to be an example to them. Yeah, you an example of how somebody can bring you down. He told you. He said, leave them alone. Come out from among them and be ye what? Why would he tell you to do that? Because he wants you to win. But you're not winning because you have not come out from among the dung. Can I put that together? And listen, it's not just people, it's stuff. Sometimes we were raised to think wrong. Some of us were. Your grandmama probably said, oh, Lord, let me not say what grandmama said. Maybe I need to just say that to break some of the chains. Maybe she said, girl, don't ever trust a ninja. Keep your money on the side. Whatever he say, don't believe it. I ain't gonna ask you to raise your hands, but some of y'all are demonstrating what grandma had told you. That's why your relationship is not what it's supposed to be. Because you have not thrown that out. You don't have to follow old grand's advice anymore. You are a new creature. You follow the directions of the Most High God, what he's speaking of in your word. If you want victory, I have to say it. I have to say it. Don't be mad. I have to say it. Somebody needed to hear that. Because instead of saying, the word said, they say, well, my grandmama always. No, wait. So you putting your grandmama on a higher pedestal than the word of Yahweh? Your grandmama also told you, girl, don't put your purse on the floor or your money gonna run out. Who heard that before? So now, anytime you got your purse, you gotta have a seat to go with. I can't even get the seat. Your purse gotta have a seat on it. Why? Why did she tell you that? Because she said, girl, you gonna be broke. And some of y'all always, your purse got a chair. I'm here to tell you. You don't have to abide by that no more. You are a child of the Most High God. No matter where your purse is sitting, you ain't got to be broke. I gotta tell y'all these things. Because otherwise, you following wives' tales and old stuff, and we still do that. Somebody knocked over some salt. I see believers taking salt and throwing it over. Why are you doing that? You a believer. And I never understood that. They say if you knock over salt, if you don't throw it over your shoulder, it's bad luck. Come on, y'all. He has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I ain't got to throw no salt. But some people are still doing that stuff. Oh, Father, help us. Okay, go back to the gate. So that was the dung gate. Okay, the fountain gate. Ooh, hallelujah. When we hear about fountains, and I might have to end it here. When we hear about fountains, it has a refreshing to it. Let's go to Nehemiah, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. And the fountain gate was on the east wall, just north of the dung gate, in a very strategic location near the pool of Siloam. And anytime we're talking about fountains, we get a beautiful picture. But here it says, but the gate of the fountain repaired, Shalon, the son of Kohelze, the ruler of the part of Mizpah, he built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof and locks thereof and the bars thereof and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. So it was in a very beautiful location. The water was flowing. The fountains were flowing. And when we hear about fountains flowing in the word, we always kind of get a connotation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is flowing. Fountains, right? So go here. Go to Yohanan. John, the 7th chapter and the 37th verse. It says, I had to finish all these gates, and I know it was a lot, but we needed to get the different aspects of how it relates to us in our salvation and in our process of rebuilding. We need to get it and understand it. And so the 37th verse says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, wait, thirst, the Hebrew word for thirst, or the Greek word for thirst, is this dipsao. And dipsao means those who painfully feel their want of. It's not just about natural thirsty. It's deeper than that. And that's why we go into these Greek and Hebrew words, because we want to get the depth of the meaning. So when Yeshua said, those who are thirst, he wasn't just talking about, hey, y'all want some Gatorade. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about those who painfully feel their want of something and eagerly are longing for something. Those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. We have thirsty lives. We have these wants and we have these voids that need to be filled. And he said to those people who are dipsao, those who are thirsty, let's go back to the verse. A sincere desire or thirst for, let him or her come unto me. Come unto him. If you want that desire, don't just come drink, come to me. And in you coming to me, I will supply the drink. I will supply the refreshing. Hey. I will supply the living water. But we got to stop being thirsty for the wrong stuff. We're longing for stuff that we shouldn't be longing for. We're trying to satisfy our soul with stuff that can never satisfy. If I get a new this, or if I get a new that, oh, I'm going to feel so good. You know that thing only lasts for a few seconds? And once you got it, you realize you got to pay for it. But you said before you got it, ooh, if I could get this, I'll be at peace. And then that peace only lasted for, he said, 2 car notes. But he's saying, if you're really thirsty, come to me. Yeshua said, I'm the only one that can satisfy what you need. I am the only one that can give you true fulfillment, true satisfaction. And then if you come to me, I'll always refresh you. I don't know about you, but I need a refreshing. I need him to re-energize me. I need, you know, him. I need it. So that is what the fountains did. They refreshed and they regenerated. When I find him in prayer, when I find him in worship, hallelujah. When I find him in just meditating on the word. And the 38th verse says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Not just stale water, but what? Living water. My spirit will flow from you into everything that you do. You at work, rivers of living water. You at school, rivers of living water. You're doing things for me in service. Rivers of what? Will always be manifest. Constant flow. I don't know about you, but I want to be I want to access the waters, the living waters, so I can still be a constant. He can still flow from me. He can still use me. He can still, that anointing flow, and that's what it is. And we don't believe that enough. It's like when I see you, we should be flowing together. Our waters, when we say praise our vow, it should be a hallelujah. I mean, really look at your neighbor for a second. We're in this atmosphere. And just tell them, hey, it's a blessing to be in the house of Yahweh. Let the rivers flow. Let the spirit flow. Let him use us. Let him move on us. That's what I need. And I can only find it in him. I only find it in him. Stop going around everywhere and stop trying to make people your source of the living waters. You can't get no living water out of the people. Come on, this is a spiritual thing. This is a supernatural thing. You have to be dependent on the name of Yeshua and the Holy Ghost to move through you. Man cannot feel this. Women cannot feel this. They cannot supply the living waters. It only comes from one source. If you believe in that source, you need to shout him out right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Living water. Living water. His Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, living water. Hashandara. Hey, Osio Rosa. Hashandara, Osio Rosa. Hey, Osio Rosa. Hey, Osio Rosa.